We're at the bottom of Tes Amud Beis. We're going to start with the words Lema, bottom line. Just to review our notes, we were talking about the issue of, number one, who gets the carcass, and that we've clearly concluded that the Nizak, the damaged party, gets the carcass. We brought a number of sukkim on that. And then in this sugya 5, we're discussing who suffers any loss in value of the carcass from the time of damage until the payment. When the animal gets damaged, it's worth a certain value, the carcass. Then the carcass goes down in value. Who suffers that loss? Is it the injured party? And therefore the damager says, listen, your carcass is worth 25, I only owe you 75, I don't care what the carcass is worth now. Or we say no. That we say that the going down in value is something that the damager has to suffer as well. So the Gemara said, well, you know, you seem to be saying without these verses, we wouldn't know that the Nizak has to take the carcass. But we brought a brisa from many moons ago that said from the word Yashiv, he will return, says you can even pay back with bran. So you can pay back with bran. What if the guy owned a bunch of carcasses? He could just give him a carcass. If I can give him a carcass, I'll tell the guy to keep the carcass. Right? To which Gemara answers, no. That this verse that says the carcass will be to him, point four, says the verse teaches that the victim suffers any loss in value of the carcass from the time of damage until the payment. The dead carcass is his. It's the Nizak's. And not just in terms of that the Nizak takes the carcass, that we know already, but the Nizak has it the entire time, and therefore if it goes down in value, the Nizak suffers the loss of it going down in value. That's what that words mean, and the dead one belongs to him. That's where we ended off yesterday.
We also said that if the guy's out of town, he doesn't know.
Right.
So when does he actually, when is it considered that he owns the carcass? And
when he's... When he's aware of it.
So if someone kills his...
He owns the carcass the whole time. The question is, who is suffering the loss in value?
Like sub to that law. Like,
I'm sorry?
Well, it's like if the ox is killed on a Sunday and the guy isn't back till next Sunday and doesn't know about it,
then
it might be worthless.
That's right. But and then the damager... suffers the loss? The owner still owns the carcass, but we would say now the damage that the damager made was a greater damage. The damager, on a normal case, listen, I gored your ox today, my ox gored your ox today, I'm responsible for the damage it did today, which was $75, now you go sell that carcass right away so I don't lose any more, or five, because now you're going to start losing. But if the guy's been away for a week, the damager now has done more than just the damaging of the goring. It's goring an animal that the owner won't see for a week, so now we increase a week's worth of decay to say that's the damager's damage.
Yeah. Couldn't you say that somebody of the damagee should be responsible for
it? He's out of town. What do you want from the guy?
Yeah.
So, but why should I suffer a because you're out of town?
I'm allowed to go out of, who asked you to gore my animal? Who asked you to cause me a damage? You know, I can
actually, why was it then to begin with? Because the guy said it would cost the mazik more money just because I'm delaying, so you're costing me more money for devaluation. So that's why it was put into place. So he nobody's there. So he can see that nobody's there, nobody's to take action, so he's got to take action because it's not the nizik we already said previously yesterday.
So this way, if you damage somebody's ox, what's the first thing you do? Knock on the damagee's door and say, listen, I damaged your ox. Nobody's answering the door, then you know you better start moving.
If the damager would own it, he could go sell it right away.
Well, I guess he would do it right. In this circumstance, he'd go to Besdin.
Yeah.
He'd say, I'm knocking on the door. He's not there. Give me permission to sell it. Besdin will say, go sell it.
Yeah.
Guys, say, listen, I want to return it, but he's not around. They're knocking on the doors. He's not around. What are we going to do? It's going to go down in value. So they would let him sell it. Okay. So now, this new answer is saying, the Pasuk is teaching us that who suffers the loss of the value of the carcass? The Nizak, right. The damaged party. That's what we conclude. Gemara is now going to say, you know, that's not so simple. Because it would appear, we're going to look at another brisa, that this whole issue of who suffers the damaged animal is a machlokes in the Gemara. You can't just say it straight off, the damager, the Pasuk's teaching is this. It's not so simple. Not everybody, it appears that not everybody agrees to this principle that the Nizak suffers the loss. And that now brings us into the bigger question. You know, just because you answered, the Pasuk says the damager, the damagee suffers a loss, who says that everyone agrees to that idea? It would appear that that is a machlokas in and of itself. And that's what the Gemara is going to bring down in the next issue. Look at point five. Suggestion. Tanayim argue about who suffers loss in value of the carcass, which you answered as a very... We asked, what's this extra pasuk?
We haven't got... We haven't got that Gemara.
I'm just saying what's coming up, the suggestion. So you wanted to answer what would need the pasuk for to teach you that the nizik keeps the carcass. We would know that anyway. So, no, because the pasuk's teaching us that the nizik suffers the loss. Wait a minute. That only works if you hold that the nizik suffers the loss. But there seems to be others' opinions who say that the mazik suffers the loss. And then we wouldn't understand what the pasuk is for. And that's what the Gemara is going to suggest right now. Bottom line. Lema, let us say, we have now brought ourselves into a concept of pchas nevela, pchas, from the word pachos, being less in value.
Devaluation.
The devaluate, the depreciation of the carcass. Tanoihi is a machlokes tanoim. An argument of the rabbis in the Mishnah. So what do you tell me as a straight off answer? That the pasuk tell me that the nizik loses? You have to be very careful how we learn this next little piece now. Titania, because we learn in the Brisa the following. And we should go back to that pasuk, which we looked at once before, to get a little bit clarity. Shmos 22:12. We'll read it again. Okay, we're talking about a shomer again, a shomer sochor. He has certain responsibilities, as verse 11 says. If it gets stolen from him, he's got to pay it to the owner. Pasuk Yud Beis, we already gave one tricky interpretation to it. Now we're going to have another tricky interpretation. Yud Beis, let's do the simple reading first. Yud Beis, Im Tarof Yitareif, if it is torn to pieces, a wolf came along while he was watching the sheep, the sheep, and it gets ripped to pieces. Now, is the Shomer Sachar have to pay for that? Well, no, yeah. But what does he have to do to not have to pay? Bring witnesses. So the simple reading is, Yiviyehu Eid, bring a witness. And then what happens? Hatrefa lo yishaleh. He doesn't have to pay for the trefa now. The animal got ripped up. That's a simple shot. We already learned one other type of shot of ad, that he only pays up to the value, but not including the carcass. That was another interpretation. We're going to see that this line is going to get further interpreted in an unconventional way. Okay? So let's go back to the Gemara. Now that you see the pasuk, now you're going to see a machlokas tanoim, how to learn up this pasuk. And the machlokes is as follows. Detanya, we learned in a braisa, finishing up the page here. The pasuk says, Im tarof yitareif, if it shall be surely torn to pieces, yiviyehu eid, he shall produce a witness. Simple pshat means, okay, I gotta go to the next page. I don't know if that was the best. It switched it to the left. Okay. Let's just tap it up here. Top page now, and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, top line. So the Tanakhama says the very simple interpretation of the Pasuk. Yavi Edim, bring witnesses, Shinitra Faba Ones, that it got ripped to shreds as an ones, as an unavoidable mishap. Bring witnesses, and the next word is Upator. Upator, you don't have to pay. Says Rashi, top of the page, Deshomer Sachar Potter Bones. And Deshomer Sachar does not pay for things that are unavoidable. As it says, umeis onishpar onishpa, if it dies, it gets broken, or things like that. Ain ra, nobody saw it. He has to make an oath and he's off the hook. That's a simple pshat. That's the way every normal person would read it. Comes along Abba Shaul, another Tana, and he has a whole different interpretation of the Pasuk. Abba Shaul Omer. Abba Shaul says, that word, aid, he says, bring a witness. Alright? That word that says, Yaviehu aid, he does not translate the word aid to mean a witness, but rather there's a different possible translation of the word aid. He says, Yavi brings aduda. An aduda. What is an aduda? An aduda is another word for a carcass. Bring the carcass, lebezdin. So the way he reads the pasuk, in tarov tarov, the animal gets ripped up. The law is, yivi'ehu aid. He brings an aduda. He brings a carcass. He brings the carcass, lebezdin, to the bezdin. Says Rashi, yavi aduda. Aduda means nevela, a carcass. And there's other mephorshim. It's, for example, it says, or is he going to bring it? Yes, next one. Lebezdin. Tevezdin. Still with Rashi there. Leshuma, for them to evaluate, kama hishava, what the carcass is worth now, to decide what the payments is. V'hachi mashmakra. This is what the pasuk means to say. Yivyehu aid, bring a witness. No, aid does not mean witness. Yavi ha'aduda, bring the carcass. Kidichsiv is the pasuk. How do we know an aduda could be a carcass? When Yaakov blessed his children, it says, Baboker yochal aid. In the morning he will eat his aid. What does that mean? We're talking about one of the tribes compared to a wolf, I think. In the morning he'll eat his aid. What
Binyamin.
Do you mean?
He eats
his aid. Binyamin means he eats his carcass. The word aid can mean a carcass, an aduda, a carcass.
Aid? Aduda is still a different word.
No, but the word look and
Bereshis can be an aduda.
Bereshis memtes. Okay, just for our edification, Bereshis memtes. No, come on. Bereshis. Yes, there is a way of using it. Hang on. Just hang on. Be patient, please. Okay. Let's find Binyamin's bracha, or better yet, let me find Memtes Chav Zayin. Okay, let's read the blessing. Binyamin Chav Zayin. Ah, here it is. Binyamin Zevi Taref Baboker Yochal Ad. In Binyamin is a wolf that devours. Also Yitrof. Yitrof. Same word we have in the Shmos. Yitrof. He will destroy. And in the morning, Yochal Ad. Okay, Yochal Ad. He eats the Ad. But it's the same letters, Ayin Dalet. The same letters. We call it, after we have Ad, it's called an Aduda. But the Torah is calling it an Ad. Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet means a carcass. Right? Gemara is just filling in and giving, it's an abridged version. Ad is the abridged version of Aduda. Okay? Like a Beamer for BMW.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. So odd. So you see the word odd means a carcass. So aid, odd, it's just a dot. It doesn't make a difference, right? We're learning it homiletically anyway. So you see the word odd means a carcass. Yes, Shelley?
I guess, yeah.
What do you mean you guess? It's what it says. What else can it mean in this pasuk? Right? He shall devour the prey. The prey, the carcass. I mean, in the morning. Right, he killed it. It's a ravenous wolf. So it means he killed it. Now he eats the carcass. Clearly, that's what Gemara says. So anyway, so now that you have that word means carcass, so what's going on over here? So Abba Shaul says the pasuk is saying that you bring the carcass to court for an appraisal upon the meat animal dying. Right away you bring carcass. Now why is the pasuk saying that? Okay, let's just see what footnote 2 adds anymore of what I just said. Abba Shaul interprets the word ayin dalet not as aid witness, but as aduda carcass, as in that pasuk, baboki yuchalad, blah, 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 blah. Going to the bottom, the carcass that is devoured is called ad, and shalol, the carcass is distributed as ada. Fine. Good. Anyway, so that's how he learns it. Okay, so now how do we understand that? What's going on? So now we have to continue in the Gemara now. So what is that? That's what the Gemara says. We understand what does this mean? That's all it says. So what does Abba Shol mean now? The Shomer Sachar, the animal, the thing devours it. He has to bring the carcass. So what's going on over here? So Gemara now says the following. That's a Bryce. Zamor is asking, my love, there's an argument. The Tanakhama learned simple pshat. Abba Shol goes a whole whacked up pshat. Doesn't learn the simple pshat. Why? What's the point? So my love, shouldn't we, is it not, that this is the point of contention here? That they argue about this? What are they arguing about? Now, this is the tricky part for this morning. Demar Sofar, one holds, Abba Shol holds, Pchas Nevela, who has to suffer the depreciation of the animal, the carcass? The Nizak. It's the damaged party suffers the lowering of the depreciation. He suffers it. Footnote 3 explains why and what it means. Abba Shol Suli does not argue with the Tanakhama's ruling that paid custodians are not liable for unavoidable mishaps, for that clue is the law. Abba Shol doesn't argue with the first Tana's interpretation. That's the push-up shot. You can't argue on that.
But to be able to say that, then he's assuming it means witness.
No, but the Torah has 70 faces. There's 70 faces to the Torah. Sometimes it's one simple shot and that's all there is. Or a line can have many layers of interpretation. He's adding on another layer of interpretation, which is fully within the rights of a great rabbi to say it means this, and it also means something else. We can read it on many levels. So that's for sure. He doesn't argue. He doesn't argue on that ruling. The ruling that a shomer socher does not pay for an ones, he doesn't argue on that. But rather, he interprets the verse as speaking of where the custodian was negligent. This verse, he will learn it a little differently. He won't argue on the law that a shomer socher, but he'll argue how to read the pasuk. He says the pasuk is speaking where the custodian was negligent and therefore liable. If the animal was devoured, you know what? He brings the carcass to court. Now, when we looked at that pasuk, the animal was devoured, you know, we don't know if there was negligence or not. We could say, you know, maybe a case where an animal can be devoured is where there was negligence. He was negligent. It wasn't such a mean wolf. You know, it was a little puppy. He could have chased it out easy, whatever. Sometimes a wolf, you know, will destroy something in the middle of the night. What if the wolf comes in broad daylight and you got a gun? Go shoot it.
Whoa.
There could be times of negligence. So he learns the pasuk. The Tanakhama learned the pasuk speaking where the custodian was not negligent. So just bring a witness and you're free. Abba Shol, I learned where the custodian was negligent, and even in certain times, that's not such an onus. You have a shotgun, there's a wolf there, go shoot him. It's speaking where there was negligence. And it says, now bring the carcass, man! In such a case, scripture teaches the custodian should bring the carcass to Beis Din for an immediate appraisal. And then from his own pocket pay the difference between the appraised worth of the carcass at the time of death and the animal's value while alive. That's, he should bring the carcass. The verse cannot be teaching that the custodian is assigned ownership of the carcass and remits it as payment according to its current value, for such a teaching is unnecessary as the Gemara established above. Rather, the verse teaches that the carcass's depreciation is absorbed by the nizik. In other words, it says, and he has to bring the carcass. What's he bringing the carcass for? We already know that the carcass belongs to the nizak, right? So what is this pasuk telling you? It's teaching us that the nizak also has to absorb the depreciation. Now, you have to bring the carcass. Now, what is a little difficult is, you know, we're saying that he already is the owner. So if the Torah is, if we say the Nizak is already the owner, then we have to know another law that's coming out of this. And he's saying, it's teaching us, therefore, that the Nizak also absorbs the law, the depreciation. And therefore, we're telling the Mazik, you bring this thing very fast to court. You bring it very fast to court. Now, this really, if you think about it, makes quite a bit of sense. Who should bring it here? Right? You know, we're telling, what are we telling? We're telling the Mazik, you bring it to court. Now, is the Mazik going to be in a rush to bring it to court?
No, because he doesn't care. He's going to get compensated.
Yeah. So it's interesting why it's a little problematic here.
No, the thing is, he's got to pay. So he knows however much it depreciates, he only has to pay when the time is damaged.
Right. So he's not in any rush.
Right, because he's got a set amount he's going to pay.
Right.
So he's no sweat off his brow.
Right, if he doesn't go... If he goes,
yeah, but still we're telling him to bring it. Who's going to insure
it? No, no, no. The Nezik didn't damage it.
The Mazik damaged it.
No, the Shomer Sachar. Here in our case, the Shomer Sachar didn't damage it. It was through to his negligence that it got damaged by torn up by the wolf. So he's quickly got to bring it in because the depreciation between when
for
it got
the Nizak,
torn up by the wolf.
And he is still the guardian for
yes,
the Nizak.
He's the guardian.
So he's saying, go bring it right away so I don't lose any money.
Right.
So if a guardian was negligent, well, wait a minute. Who has to pay for this negligence?
The Shomer Sachar.
So Mershachar is one
who's the Nizik.
He's the Mazik.
He's not the Mazik. He reads the Masifta what he says here.
Yeah, let's see again. Let's look again.
See, Shepachat HaNevela.
The Nizik is the Mafkid. The Mafkid is the one who gave it to him to watch.
Right.
Not the watcher. The Mafkid.
Shepachat HaNevela Bishar.
The Mafkid. HaNizik Shuhu HaMafkid. The Nizik is the one who gave it to him. Mafsid will lose. Not the Shomer.
Right.
The owner. If I give you my ox to watch, my sheep to watch, and now you were negligent, my thing gets damaged, but I'm still the owner of the thing, and now it goes down in value, I'm going to lose more money.
Right.
So we tell the Shomer, hurry up and bring it to court, mister, because your boss is going to be losing money.
Yeah.
Right. You're watching my sheep, right? And you were negligent watching my sheep, right? So now, the other guy, the Mazik, has to pay, but how much? Well, he only pays the value of the carcass. Now, as that's going down in value, the Nizik's suffering the loss. So we're telling the Shomer of the Nizik, bring it into court fast. Because if you don't, you as the Shomer may have to pay the difference in the value as per the Nizik's loss of money. Do you follow what's going on over here? In other words, we got three people here. Let's get it clear. It's not just a wild wolf. Let's just say a wild wolf over here. We're speaking about, I gave you my sheep to watch. Now, Chaim Yankel Shore just went in and gored the sheep. Now, and you were negligent. You were right there. You had a shotgun. You should have shot the cow. And you didn't. So now, Chaim Yankel, who owned the ox, has to pay the owner for the damage he did. So the owner keeps the carcass. Now he pays the $75. But then it says, and the Shoimer, the guardian who is negligent, who really is going to have to pay his owner, but what does he have to pay for? Well, how much damage he's going to cost. Right now, he's cost $75 worth of damage. Now, it could be as well that the owner of the ox who gored will have to pay. Somebody's got to pay here. I don't know why we just learned simple that the Shomer is the Mazik because he was negligent.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say the Shomer was the Mazik because he was negligent.
That's only if it's
why don't you learn simple? The Shomer was Mazik because he was negligent. Tarov, tarov.
Does that displace the owner of the damage?
So now we're saying, you better return it fast so he doesn't lose any more. It's not very clear with the commentaries how they're explaining this. But HaNizik, who HaMafkid, right? The Nizik is the owner, Mafsid he loses. Therefore, the Shomer was negligent, he has to pay. So he, the guardian, brings the carcass to Besdin before it gets any worse, so we know exactly how it was at the time of death. But who's going to take the loss? The Mazik, right?
Yeah.
That's how he learns it. With all due respect, I mean, I have trouble with that because it's still, to me, I don't know why we wouldn't just, why couldn't we say it's the Mazik who loses the money?
Right, that's what we're saying. Bar says it's the Mazik.
But that's Abishol. Abishol, who's learning this different interpretation, says the Nizik.
Because it's up to the Shomer to quickly bring it because he's responsible.
Anyway, I could debate that. Anyway, let's look at the next line. Umar Savar and the other rabbi who learns a simple interpretation and didn't learn Abba Shol's unusual interpretation. I gotta go get us ahead over here. Umar Savar, the first rabbi says, Demazik Abba, the Mazik loses out. The damager loses in the difference. Why? Point four. Come on. Point four. And for that reason, he shuns Abba Shol's interpretation of the verse. Okay? Now, I think the Rav's going to have all kinds of questions. Anyway, there's other questions. We don't want to go there. But anyway, so that's how they want to learn it. Frankly, I could say the opposite. I would have
said. So why didn't you pipe in? And there was
no, I'm just saying. Abishol says he has to bring the carcass. Maybe he has to bring the carcass because the mazik is going to lose.
I would have said the mazik.
So let go bring the carcass fast because you're going to lose more money.
Maybe.
When I learned the Gemara without the commentary, I thought it was the opposite. But the commentaries and Rashi also says not like me. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
But obviously that's a simple interpretation. The other one's not learning a simple interpretation. So Gemara is saying, there's many other questions to this. We're going to see, it's going to knock this off in a minute anyway. So, but anyway, but one says the mazik loses. The Gemara is saying, we see it's an argument that's annoying. Who loses the depreciation? And you said in the beginning, it's just very obvious. The pasuk taught us by the dead one goes in, that the nizak takes the loss. So Gemara says, no, that's not the argument over there. Whoa, no. The argument in the Tanya of the Abishol is not if the Nisik or the Masik takes the loss. No. Everybody agrees. The Kuli Alma, everybody, those two rabbis agree. The Nizak, that the Nizak takes the loss. But for Hacha, here's a whole different issue. B'torach Navelika Miflegi. Here they're arguing who has the trouble of having to bring the carcass to the Beis Din.
Really? How did that come up?
Well, that makes more sense. The Torah says, if he was negligent, he brings it to court. To me, that's the simplest way of learning the pasuk. You're saying, no, it means he's going to sustain the loss. You know, you have to make such a stretch. Why him? Maybe the other guy. It doesn't make any sense. This is really makes a lot of sense. That everybody agrees the nizik takes the loss.
Who's going to do the transfer?
The Torah, Abishol says, you know what the pasuk means? The pasuk means when he was negligent, he, the mazik, has to bring the carcass to court. Now, there's transfer costs involved. Now, so the Tanakam, who doesn't learn this different shot, he learns simple. What are you talking about? It's the Nizik's problem to make the transfer of the to the carcass. Abishol says, no, the Pusik says that the Shomer has to bring it. So the Mazik brings it. Point number six. Abishol, who interprets the verse to mean the custodian shall bring the carcass to court, maintains that the damager is so burdened. While the Tanakama holds that the damaged party must retrieve the carcass himself. So that's the argument. The argument is not, does the Nizik or the Masik suffer the loss, but is, who has to bring it to court? That is a very good Machlokas Tanoim. And now, the Gemara is going to bring a proof from another Brisa that says it as an obvious given. The Tanya, Vahatanya, usually Vahatanya means as a question. Here it means Vahatanya, it's a proof. For Hatanya, we have a bright, we have a proof to one of the opinions. A proof, it's a machlokas, and now we're going to prove who's the right opinion on top of that. Why? There's a bright that says, Acherim Omrim, others say. What do others say? Minayin shall bal habor lahalo shor mibora. How do we know that the owner of the pit has to take the ox out of the pit? In other words, I had a pit, an ox fell in, got killed, who's got to take it out? So this price says, others say, that how do we know that the owner of the pit, the mazik, has to take it out of the pit? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk teaches us, when it talks about the owner of the pit has to pay, look what it says. It says, kesev yashiv livolov, money he returns to the owner, I have to pay him back for this. Now he learns the next word homiletically. Vehames. Vehames. And the dead body. So let's take a look. Exodus 21:34 for a second to get the whole pasuk, the simple meaning and the other meaning. What do we say? It's Exodus. What do we say? 1 second. Exodus.
It's 21:34.
Here. Bala 34. The animal fell in and got damaged. Baal habor yishalem. Now look at the simple pasuk. Baal habor yishalem. The owner of the pit has to pay. Kesev yashi livolov. Money he returns to the owner. Esnachta. Break. End of the clause. New clause. V'hames yiyeh lo. And the dead beast shall be his. And that's the pasuk we were talking about yesterday. Whose dead beast is it? We learned it's the Nizak's. The damaged party, right? Now this rabbi, this achim, they're going to learn the pasuk differently. Now the stopping point was under the word leave all love. Take a look at the word leave all love, if you'll let me. See the word leave all love? Look under the lamed. I can't make it any bigger. See under the lamed, there's a little upside down horseshoe? That's called an asnachta. That means it's a pause. That means that's separated from the next three words of the pasuk. Okay? It says, the owner of the pit shall pay, money shall give to the owner. Stop. Period. Vameis, and the dead carcass, yellow, belongs to the nizak. It means the mazik pays the difference. Right? Now, this town is going to learn the pasuk differently. He's going to say that we're going to explain the pasuk, assuming that the stop is over there. The stop is over there. The owner returns money, vehameis, and the dead body he returns. You hear? That's not the simple reading of the text, but it's a homiletic interpretation. He returns the money to the owner, vehameis, and the carcass. Who returns it? The owner of the pit.
Right.
The owner of the pit returns it. You got that?
Yeah.
The owner of the pit returns money and the mace and the dead one, which he alone, which does still remain the nizak's animal, but the mazik has to take it. And that's how he's going to learn it over there. That's what it says. Kesef yoshlo v'ameis yelo. Number 9, the second opinion, which reflects the view of a shul, states that the damager must bring the carcass from the accident site. The unrecorded opposing opinion, which accords with that of our Bryce's Tanakama, holds that the damaged party must retrieve it himself. So it seems there's a machlokes over here. Let's look at point 9. Okay, that I already explained it. I explained it all, so we don't have to say it. But let's just go back and look at that highlighted part again. Okay, so this is the Eish Omrim, right? The second opinion reflects the view of Abishol, yeah? Okay, so that's Abishol. So you see clearly he says that the Nizak has to, the Mazik has to transport it. So we have a proof that that was the machlokes between Abishol and the Tanakama. Because we have a brisa that clearly says that the damaged party, damager has to return the carcass. That's Abishol. That's what Abishol was saying. Okay. So now we've come to the point where we're saying, who suffers the financial loss? As we said yesterday, the Nizak. What are we bringing from the machlokes of Abishol? Who has to incur the transport costs? And Abishol says it is the damager.
Mazik.
To which Gemara just concludes. Okay, you know, it's already 8 o'clock. So let's just look at the notes just a little bit more, but we're going to have to do it next week. But we already came to the main point. If you look at point 5, suggestion, Tanaim argue about who suffers the loss of the carcass. Brisa brings the machlokes. The Shomer will bring aid. He brings aid and witnesses that it became trefa through Ones beyond his control to exempt himself. Abishol says he brings aid due to the carcass to Besdin. Conclusion and suggestion. The first one holds that the victim suffers regarding loss of the carcass. Abishol holds that the damager suffers the loss. Rejection. All agree that the victim suffers a loss. They are but who must toil to retrieve it. And Abishol holds that the mazik must retrieve it. Support from a brice at Abishol. Others say he'll return money to the owner. And the carcass that he also returns teaches that the owner of the pit must take the carcass out of the pit. There's one little question after this that we'll deal with later. That's what we're up to right now. But that's going to be the conclusions of our Gemara. That's going to be our conclusions. Conclusion is the Nizik suffers the loss, but the Mazik has to take it to Besdin.
It has to pay the transport cost.
Has to pay the transport cost to take it to Besdin. Yeah. Okay. Shkayach, guys. So next Thursday, Tony will not be here.
I won't be here for Monday.
For a week. From Monday. Monday, rather. Procedures
on Monday.
And Mark will be here instead. I hope.
I hope he'll be... I know he's coming.
Martin will be away.
I know Mark is going away, I think, Monday night.
Oh, my God.
And Larry will be back?
Larry will be back.
And Selwyn, I don't know. We hope.
It's the revolving door.